Well, please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 22 to 34. This is a section that deals with the temptation, the sin to regard the abundance of one's possessions as constituting life. And how that can, as we saw last week, lead to a spirit of covetousness, of greedily grasping after things and holding on to things and really living for the riches of this world. And this evening we see another problem that can result from thinking that one's life consists in the abundance of one's possessions, and that is the problem of anxiety. So let us hear the word of God, Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Well, please have your Bibles open at the passage that we read a few moments ago. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. That's the main message, really, of our passage this evening. Do not be anxious. Do not be fretful. Do not worry. That's what Jesus says, isn't it, to his disciples, right at the start of our passage. Do not be anxious, he says to them. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, and do not be anxious about your body, what you will put on. Do not be anxious about these things, Jesus says to his disciples. And he says this because, of course, he knows just how prone his disciples are to being anxious about such things. He knows how prone we are, all of us are, to one degree or another, how prone we are to being anxious about the things of this life. And I suppose you could say that it was certainly very understandable for the disciples in Jesus' day to be anxious about things like food and clothing. They lived in a, what we could call a subsistence economy. That is to say, they lived at a time when they very much lived from hand to mouth. They couldn't always be entirely sure where the next meal was coming from. So much depended upon the abundance of the harvest. And so it was perhaps somewhat understandable for the disciples of Jesus to be anxious about where the next meal was coming from, about food and about what they would wear. And even though we live, of course, in a much richer society, and if we're a bit short of food, we can just pop down to the local Tesco. We can still, can't we, get very anxious about having enough, about having enough to live on, anxious about our finances, anxious about paying the bills, anxious about our material possessions, anxious about providing for our families, for our children, anxious about all sorts of things. We'll always find, some of us will always find things to be anxious about. We're all prone to anxiety. And Jesus knows this. He knows this. And so he says to us, I'm slightly anxious now that roof might cave in. Hopefully it won't. Jesus knows that we are very prone to anxiety, and so he says to his disciples, and he says to us this evening, and he does so in a very gentle manner, a firm, clear manner, but a very gentle manner. He says, look, my friends, you don't need to be anxious. He's not speaking in a sort of imperious tone here. He's not banging his fists on the lectern saying, you must not be anxious. That would just make you more anxious. Jesus isn't like that. He speaks here in a very gentle, tender, warm-hearted manner. And he says, look, my friends, there's no need to be anxious about these things. You've got no need to be anxious about food and clothing and other such things. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. And that's what Jesus then does in the rest of our passage. He tells us why we don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be fretful, and why we can trust in our Father. And he really gives two main reasons why we have no need to be anxious. And they're both to do with knowing God as our Father. That's really what it comes down to. Don't be anxious because God is your Father. But he fleshes that out in two particular ways. And first of all, he says, don't be anxious because God, your Father, will provide for you. God, your Father, will provide for you. Jesus tells his disciples not to be anxious about their lives. For, as he goes on to say in verse 23, life is more than food and the body more than clothing. That's somewhat similar, isn't it, to what he said back in verse 15 of this chapter, where he said that one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. We mustn't think that life is all about what we have, what we possess, what we own. It's not about those things. Food and clothing, they are, of course, necessary. They're necessary for life. You will die if you don't eat, and you will die of cold if you don't have clothes to wear. These things are necessary. We need them. We do. But whilst they're necessary, food and clothing and other such things, they are not what life is really all about. Life is about so much more than these things, so much more than what you have and what you possess. And I think what Jesus is implying here, although he doesn't spell it out explicitly, but what he's basically implying, what we know from the rest of the Bible, is that life is really all about, well, knowing God. That's what it comes down to, ultimately. Life is about knowing a life giver, the one who is life in himself, the one who graciously gives us life. True life consists in knowing God, enjoying God, relating to God. It's about being rich towards him, as we saw at the end of the passage last week. Life is about being rich in faith and rich in trust and rich in love towards God, rich in obedience towards God. It's about fixing your eyes upon God, the one who is life in himself. And if you have God, if you know God, the life giver, then even if, I suppose, you are deprived of things like food and clothing, then you still do have life in its true sense. you have eternal life. Life is really all about knowing God. And this God, as Jesus goes on to say, is very much worth knowing. And he is very much worth trusting because he's such a good God. Very simple message this evening, by the way. There's no rocket science here. God is worth knowing. He's worth trusting because he's so good. That's what Jesus says in verse 24. He says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. God feeds them. The ravens, the other birds of the air. Just look at them. They don't work like you do to earn a living. They don't save or store up in the way that you might do or in the way that the rich fool did. And they certainly don't get anxious, at least I don't think they get anxious, about where the next meal is coming from, like you might do. But do the birds starve? No, they don't. Why? Because God, their Father, their Creator, feeds them. He supplies them with the food they need to eat. Their Creator supplies them with all of their needs. And of how much more value are you than the birds? My friends, Jesus is saying here to his disciples. He's speaking so warmly and so tenderly. My friends, you are so much more precious than the ravens, than the birds of the air. God loves all that he's created. He loves the birds. But he loves you far more than he loves them. And so if God feeds them, then can you not trust that he will feed you as well? That's what Jesus is saying here. It's a very simple, straightforward argument, but it's hard, I suppose, to really believe. Now, it is important, I think, to be clear that Jesus is not saying here that like the ravens, we shouldn't sow and reap, or we shouldn't store our goods in barns. He's not saying that we don't need to work, that we can just sort of sit back and, you know, take things easy on the basis that God will provide for us come what may. No. He's not saying that. That would be lazy presumption, not faithful stewardship. We must work hard. We're called to work hard. We're created to work hard by the God who works. And it is good to save if you can. And it's right to plan for the future. But what Jesus is saying here is that as we go about doing those things, as we go about doing our daily work, as we go about earning a living, as we go about planning for the future, we are to do so in a spirit of trust, in a spirit of childlike trust. We do the work that the Lord has given us to do, trusting that our Father will provide for all of our needs, trusting that he will feed us. We do our work in faith, not in fear, especially since being anxious about such things won't actually do us any good whatsoever. And that's the point that Jesus goes on to make in verses 25 and 26. There he says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? In other words, worrying just won't get you anywhere. It won't get you anywhere. Worrying won't achieve anything. It's pointless. There's no point worrying. You can't even add a single hour to your life by being anxious. Just as by being anxious about how tall you are, that won't make you any taller. In fact, all that being anxious about your life does is to deprive you of the peace and the joy that you could have had and you simply trusted your Father. Worrying doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't do you any good. It does you harm. So why worry? But we do worry, don't we? We do worry. We do get anxious. Jesus knows this. He knows this. He knows how prone we are to anxiety. And that's why, like every good and every kind teacher, Jesus then proceeds to really press home the wonderful truth that we can trust our Father. He doesn't just stop with the birds. He then goes on to say, look, consider the lilies of the field. Don't just consider the ravens. Consider the lilies of the field, verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The lilies of the field, he's saying, look at them. Look at them. They don't toil by spinning or by weaving their own clothes. They don't do that. Yet how beautiful they are. How beautiful they are, even more beautiful than King Solomon in all of his royal splendor. Why are they so beautiful? Because God has made them beautiful. That's the answer. Their Creator, in his goodness, in his generosity, in his wisdom, their Creator has clothed them with a splendor that exceeds that of a king, even Israel's most glorious and splendid king. And if God so clothes the grass, here's the punchline, if God so clothes the grass, verse 28, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, oh, you of little faith? And again, Jesus is just saying that very tenderly, I think. You of little faith, come on. You can believe. He's not speaking in a harsh tone here. You of little faith, come on. You can have faith. You can trust. It's amazing, actually, isn't it, when you think about it? Flowers. Flowers are such ephemeral things. They fade and they wither like the grass. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. And yet, amazingly, God, as it were, takes the time. He takes the time and the effort to clothe them with the most stunning beauty whilst they're here for their very, very, very short existence. And you almost think to yourself, well, what's the point? What is the point of such beauty? What's the point of clothing such ephemeral things like the lilies of the field, which are here today and which are gone tomorrow, with such stunning beauty? Isn't that a waste of time? We wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. But God does. Because he loves to do that kind of thing. He loves to clothe with beauty even the lilies of the field. He loves the birds. And he loves the lilies. How much more does he love you? You who have been made in his image. You who are godlike by virtue of your creation. How much more does he love you? And therefore, how much more is he going to clothe you and make you beautiful? You of little faith. So, when you get anxious, as you undoubtedly do, anxious about your life, anxious about whether one day you might just not have enough. Here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to just go for a walk. Go for a walk in the English countryside. And when you're there, walking in the countryside, just stop and look at the birds. Stop and look at the flowers of the field. Read God's book of creation. Read his book of nature. And just say to yourself, and this is so simple, but just say to yourself, isn't it wonderful how God feeds those birds? He just supplies them with all that they need. And isn't it wonderful how he clothes those flowers with such stunning beauty? Isn't my Father, God my Father, isn't he just so very good to his creation, to all of his creation? So why should I ever doubt that he would cease to be good to me? Why should I ever doubt his good, wise, and abundant provision for me? You can trust God. You can trust God because he is your Father. That's the key concluding lesson of our verses that Jesus draws. He goes on to say in verse 29, "Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things." In other words, what Jesus is saying here is seeking after things like food and drink or one's possessions, worrying about those things, being preoccupied with those things. That's the way unbelievers live. That's the way unbelievers live. They get anxious about the things of this life. Because for them, this life is all that there is. It's all that there is. They don't know God. They don't know God as their Father, so they get anxious about these things. They seek after these things, but you're not an unbeliever. You're a child of God. You belong to your Father. You know that life is more than food and more than clothing and more than your possessions. You know that life is about knowing God, your Father. And your Father knows that you need all of these things. He knows your needs, and he will provide. So don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about having enough. Your Father knows everything that you need, and he will provide. Instead, here's what, in a sense, to be anxious about. There's a good kind of anxiety. It's a bad kind of anxiety to be anxious about food and clothing and so forth. But there's a good kind of anxiety, which Jesus talks about in verse 31. Instead, seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Be preoccupied with God, with his glory, with his kingdom. Be rich towards him. Trust him. Obey him. Live for him. That's what Jesus is saying. Occupy yourself with God. And as you live this way, with your mind focused upon the Lord, so you can be confident that all these things that you do need, all these basic necessities of life, they will be added to you. They will be given to you by your Father. So don't be anxious, because your Father will provide for you. But then secondly, and I'll be a little bit briefer with this point. Secondly, God, your Father, has already provided for you. He has already provided for you. Don't be anxious, because God, your Father, will provide for you. And don't be anxious, because God, your Father, has already provided for you. Jesus says in verse 32, "Fear not, little flock." Again, just notice the warmth and the tenderness there of the Lord Jesus. He knows that his disciples are prone to anxiety. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Don't be afraid, Jesus is saying. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid in particular about living as believers. Living as believers who seek first God's kingdom, who prioritize the kingdom of God rather than seeking after and living for this world. Don't be afraid of living in such a way. Don't be afraid. Why? Because you have the kingdom. You have the kingdom. You have eternal life. You have all the riches of glory. They're yours already. Why? Because your Father has given them to you. Your Father has been pleased to give all of these things to you. It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, what Jesus is saying here to his little flock, to his worried, prone to being anxious flock, what he's saying is that they are actually eternally secure. They are eternally secure. They don't need to be afraid. They don't need to be anxious, because they are eternally secure. Isn't it the case that one of the main reasons that people covet so much, and we were thinking about covetousness just last week, isn't one of the main reasons that people covet so much, like the rich fool, and want to acquire more and more possessions is because they think that in having more possessions, they will become more secure. They will become more safe. And isn't it also the case that one of the main reasons that people get so anxious about their material possessions is because they fear that the lack of them will make them insecure? It's this desire for security that lies at the root of both covetousness and of anxiety. And Jesus is saying here to his disciples, you don't need to covet. You don't need to greedily grasp after more. And you don't need to be anxious or fretful. You don't need to be afraid, because you already have absolute and eternal security. You're absolutely secure because you have the kingdom. And ultimately, that's all that matters. And this kingdom, it's not going to be taken away from you. You're not going to lose it. People worry about losing their material possessions. They can be taken away in an instant. The stock market crashes. The economy nosedives. Things happen. And you can lose all of your possessions. They're gone. And where's your security then? But this kingdom can never be taken away from you. Why? Because it's been given to you by your Father, your good Father, your generous Father. According to his good pleasure, he has given to you eternal life. Take that to heart, brothers and sisters. You are eternally secure. Nothing can take the kingdom away from you. Your Father's given it to you. And knowing this is so wonderful, because not only does it reduce and hopefully completely take away your anxiety, it also then frees you up. It frees you up to lead lives of extraordinary generosity. And that's the application that Jesus goes on to make from this truth, where he says in verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. You know, if you think that your life consists in the abundance of your possessions, then you're going to be focused on yourself, aren't you? You're going to be focused on getting more things for yourself if you think that your life consists in the abundance of your possessions. And that focus on yourself, it will either make you incredibly proud like the rich fool, or it's going to make you incredibly anxious, or more likely, a combination of both. Either way, you'll be so focused on yourself that you just won't have the time or the energy or the inclination to think of others. But here's the thing. If you know that God, your Father, has given to you the eternal riches of his kingdom, and if you know that whatever happens to you in this life, whatever happens to you in this life, you are eternally secure. The kingdom cannot be taken from you. Then that frees you up. That frees you up to give generously to others. Without being reckless, and we're not to be reckless, you can say, well, because by my Father's good pleasure, I am eternally rich. Because I am eternally secure, let me sell my possessions. Let me sell my possessions and give to those who are really needy. And let me do without those things that I don't really need, so that I can give to those who are in need. And let me give as much as I possibly can. As much as I possibly can to the cause of the gospel, to the Church of Christ. And let me do so cheerfully. Do not be anxious, brothers and sisters, about the abundance of your possessions in this life. Instead, be abundantly generous with all that you have, because your Father has already given you all things. He has given you his kingdom, and he could not have given you a greater gift. If he's given you his kingdom, why is he not going to give to you lesser things? Why can you not be generous with all that you have? It's not easy, I know. I know it's not easy to not be anxious. Not easy to not be anxious about one's life. And it's not easy to be richly generous, sacrificially generous towards others. It's not easy to really live for heaven, to lay up your treasure in heaven, even though that's the most secure investment, because there no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Often our treasure, and therefore our heart, it's not in heaven, is it? It's here on earth. That's what we're like. And Jesus knows that. And so he comes to us this evening as his disciples, and he says to us so very gently, look, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your possessions, about food and clothing. Why? Because your Father is so very, very good. He will provide for you everything that you need. He's not going to let you down. And he's already provided you with the most important thing, that which is most valuable of all. He's given you his kingdom. It's not easy to not be anxious. But remember that you are in the hands of your good Father. And remember too that you are one with the Lord Jesus. You are united to the one who did trust his Father at all times, didn't he? He trusted his Father at all times because he knew his Father was good and would give him everything that he needed in his life here on earth. And as he trusted in his Father, what did Jesus do? What did he do? He, as it were, sold all of his possessions and gave to the poor. He generously gave away all that he had, even to the point of being reduced to the utter poverty of the cross. And he did that in order to make you eternally rich. That's the one that you are united to. That's the one who lives within you. And by his Spirit, you can live as Jesus calls you to live. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Trust in your Father. Amen.